Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go to Tuesday. Draft is Thursday, right around the corner. This is the Herd. Live in Los Angeles, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Lincoln Riley, Oklahoma football head coach, who coached Kyler Murray, who now appears to be going number one, will join us in 1 hour from now. Joy Taylor stopping in, as usual. How are you, Joy?
I'm great. Good morning.
Here we go. Pretty close to the draft. Very, very close to the draft. It's Thursday, and there are stories now. Here's where we begin. There are stories now from reputable sources, people I trust, that it does appear Arizona's made a decision, and increasingly it looks like the decision is to move off Josh Rosen and to draft Kyler Murray. Not what I would necessarily do, but I get what they're trying to do. They have a coach in Cliff Kingsbury. It appears Kyler Murray is better for his system. You can certainly make the argument in that division with Jimmy G, Russell Wilson, Jared Goff. You're going to need some dynamic playmaker at the quarterback position. I get the argument, but Arizona last year, I don't think they're brilliantly run. I think they have the fourth best roster in the division. And I think Josh Rosen may be very lucky here and end up with a better football team and a better roster and an easier division going forward. So Peter King is saying this morning he would be surprised if the Cardinals didn't draft Kyler Murray with a top overall pick. And Joel Klatt said this yesterday, and I trust him, on our show. Do you have any inside sources saying Arizona will take Kyler Murray?
Yes.
Oh, so you're breaking news here.
I'm not breaking news. I'm 90%. Again, okay. I would be shocked if they're not going to take him.
All right, there you go. Peter King, Joel Klatt, believe it strongly. Let me just say this. You got to get the quarterback position right. This is starting to feel like not only a game changer for Arizona, but such an opportunity for the New York Giants. A couple of years ago, there was this team on the West Coast called the San Francisco 49ers. And they'd hire this young offensive coach, Kyle Shanahan. No proven head coaching track record. They had a general manager, John Lynch, that we were all kind of unsure of if it would work. And they had some good players on the roster, but we just kind of thought, meh. All of a sudden, they signed Jimmy G from New England. And instantly, you're like, oh, okay, we got a real franchise here. Okay, now we got the coach, now we got the quarterback, the GM seems to know what he's doing, and they already had some good people. Just the Jimmy G signing took the Niners from like a mess, and the Niners, again, had an offensive coach unproven, a GM we weren't sure of, they were unsure going forward on quarterback, and then Jimmy G came in, boom, here's the New York Giants. They have an offensive coach, Pat Shurmur, with a great track record, but we're not sure of. They have some good players on that roster, we know that for sure. Like the Niners, they got some explosive players. They have a general manager, Dave Gettleman. We're not really sure it's going to work. And they're unsure of their quarterback going forward. And here's Josh Rosen. He's the Jimmy G. And like Jimmy G, a beautiful thrower of the football. Little bit with both of injury concerns. Jimmy G got hurt at New England a couple times. People are like, eh. Rosen in college got hurt a little bit, bummed out. Eh. Both Rosen and Jimmy G did not have enough starts to definitively say, we know they'll be blank. But boy, they looked the part. And for both, Garoppolo, all it took was a second-round pick. And for the Giants, it appears all it's going to take is a second-round pick. Giants, be the Niners. Step up. Make the obvious move. If you're not going to draft Dwayne Haskins, which I would, I think we're overthinking the room on Dwayne Haskins, I'd draft him. If you're not, go get Josh Rosen. If you don't have the quarterback situation settled in this league, it hangs over the fans, the locker room, the players. I mean, Jacksonville had that one great year. But, I mean, it never felt sealed in. The Niners were the Giants. Smart offensive coach, a GM we weren't sure of, some interesting, captivating, talented players on the roster, quarterback unsettled. And the Niners are like, let's seal this up. Let's just seal this. Let's get our guy, boom, Garoppolo. And the next day we're all like, all right, that's a real franchise. Giants, you have 12 draft picks. Two high first-round draft picks. Three of the top 37 draft picks. You have two major needs on the team. Pass rusher and a quarterback going forward. Step up. This seems so incredibly Garoppolo-ish to me. Josh Rosen, Garoppolo, second-round picks, good throwers of the football, little injury concern, pick up offenses real quick, make your move. All right, let's shift gears to this. Oklahoma City and Russell Westbrook could be done by the end of the night. I think it'll be a close competitive game. One of the things my wife always says, in life you can be a great example or you can be a horrible warning. And both work as a parent. Kids see their mom and dad as great examples, or maybe the family's a little chaotic and the kids look at it and go, I'm not going to be that. Be a great example or a horrible warning. Preferably a great example, but both work. Russell Westbrook has obviously, since the divorce from Kevin Durant, eroded. He's not the same player. Durant has flourished. Westbrook has eroded. But Russell Westbrook is also a horrible warning. If you draft and build around a highly athletic point guard that's a below-average shooter, Derrick Rose, John Wall, Westbrook, now three examples, you will not be a playoff contender. It is now a shooter's league. Less athletic point guards that can shoot, Kyrie Irving has never lost a first-round playoff series, Steph Curry and James Harden are now growing and flourishing. Sports gives you great examples and horrible warnings. We now have three hyper-athletic point guards that teams and the media fell in love with. Wall, Rose, and Westbrook. And it doesn't work. Super athletes. We now have three point guards that aren't as athletic. Harden, Steph, and Kyrie Irving. I think Kyrie's now something like, 16-0 in the first round. Listen, this year, Westbrook shot 31% on jumpers. Harden shot 40. Lillard shot 40. And Curry shot 44%. Just pay attention. Just pay attention. If you're a GM, if you're an executive, you're a coach who has GM powers, if you fall for the highly athletic point guard who can't shoot, then it's on you. From time to time, I'll speak to young broadcasters and young journalism students. And one of the messages I always say is, just pay attention. 20 years ago, newspapers died. Don't go into newspapers. 10 years ago, magazines died. Get rid of that idea. And today, websites are dying. Don't go out and spend all your money on a website. Think about a podcast. Think about audio. Think about TV. Think about play-by-play. Think about... Life will tell you which direction to go. Lose your ego, pay attention. Like Westbrook is really actually a great warning going ahead. He'll give you highlights. He can give you some awards. He can sell tickets and merchandise. He's fun to watch. I'll be watching that game tonight. I watch a lot of Westbrook. But if you want to win in the playoffs in an increasingly shooters-driven league, the answer is scale back a little bit on the athleticism. Don't pass on a guy in the draft because he's not quite athletic enough. Kyrie, Steph, James Harden. Because it's a shooter's league. And you've got now multiple examples over and over of what works and what doesn't. Okay? This is be a great example or a horrible warning. My guest tonight is Portland wins the series simply because... they've got more shot makers. They don't have the best athletic roster. They got the second best Curry. Damian Lillard never gets talked about as an elite point guard. CJ McCollum, I think, is a really good shooter, but not much else. Doesn't play any defense. They got shot makers. That's what Portland has. The athletes, some size. That's Oklahoma City. The guys that can hit 16-footers and 21-footers, that's Portland. I think they'll win tonight.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I would not trade Josh Rosen for Kyler Murray, but Kyler Murray's coach is joining us in an hour. The draft is kind of fascinating. So here's another Raider story that's come out. This is very interesting. So according to Ian Rappaport, the Raiders may be planning, quote, a surprise pick with their fourth overall selection. Hey, everybody, we got a big surprise coming. I don't know, unless you're drafting like a baseball player, I don't know what you could do at this point. Maybe a quarterback.
Well, technically, Kyler Murray is also a baseball player, okay. Although not currently playing.
All right, I guess, but I think Arizona's got the number one pick, and they're going to take him. Then Friday, the story came out that the scouts had all been sent home and nobody trusted them. I'm just going to give you an opinion here. It appears the Raiders are leaking stories to be the most talked about team on Thursday. Because Arizona right now, not a very good football team, is getting talked about a lot because of Kyler Murray. And a story came out this week. They were trying to sell some tickets. I don't know if that's true or not. That's the story. Oakland is struggling to sell tickets. It's a lame duck year in Oakland. And it's one of the poorest ownership groups in the NFL. I think it's the poorest. They don't have great stadium revenue. It's a mess. I think they're trying to sell tickets. And I think they're leaking stories right now to drum up interest. I think they want to sell them in Vegas. I think that's why they went out and spent for Antonio Brown. I don't think they thought Antonio Brown didn't come without risk. But I think they thought it would sell tickets. Oakland's got to sell tickets. John Gruden had a quote last summer. His quote last summer was, I want to be the Patriots. Aren't the Patriots quiet? Aren't they covert? They don't pay wide receivers. They buy low and sell high. The Raiders are doing the opposite of the New England Patriots. And Gruden told you he wanted to do the New England Patriots. So his first move was very Patriot-like. Let's get rid of Khalil Mack and get a bunch of picks. That was his first move in Oakland. And you're like, that's a little Patriot-like. Let's let Chandler Jones go and get paid. And then they let go of Amari Cooper, and you're like, well, New England doesn't pay receivers. That's a little bit like the Patriots. So John Gruden talked, and I listened. We want to be, his quote last summer, we want to be the Patriots. All right, Khalil Mack for picks. Well, that's very Belichick. Belichick does not pay wide receivers. Amari Cooper gone picks. All right. And then suddenly in the last couple months, let's pay a fortune for a left tackle that may be the third best in our division. Let's pay a fortune for wide receiver. Let's go and leak everything to the press. They're trying to win Thursday night. That's what this is. They're trying to win Thursday night and sell tickets because they can't sell them in Oakland because the community's ticked off. That's what it totally feels like to me. John Gruden's initial plan was exactly what he said it would be. Very New England-like. Which is, don't pay a fortune for anybody outside of your quarterback. And by the way, don't give your quarterback a bunch of love. Belichick doesn't give Brady a bunch of love. Gruden hasn't given Derek Carr a bunch of love. He moved Amari. He moved Khalil. That was very New England. But in the last couple of months, it's the opposite of New England. And this is what my biggest fear with John is. He's turning into a TV personality. Because remember, if you think about Thursday's draft, and don't kid yourself, not all organizations in American sports are about winning games. There's all sorts of organizations. The New York Giants would love to move off Eli, but they're afraid of what their older fan base will do. Kobe Bryant signed a massive contract last couple of years with the Lakers. Why? Because Time Warner Cable said, we're not giving you money if your best player is D'Angelo Russell. Organizations make moves. There's two different kind of sports organizations. The one that are all about winning titles. And then you get some owners, they want to make money. If they win titles, that'd be great, but we got to make money. The Raiders have literally shifted what they do in the last 6 months, and I think it's to sell tickets in Oakland. I think that's what they're doing now. You get rid of Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, and you bring in Antonio Brown, who's got all sorts of baggage, and is more expensive a wide receiver. And outside of Arizona, the Raiders have three picks in the first round. So, I mean, they should be the second story. And I think they want to be the number one story and sell 4,000 season tickets either in Vegas or Oakland. That's what I think they want to do. I mean, why are these stories leaking? You know, I have a theory on this. Stories get out when somebody wants them out. Why? Listen to this story. The Raiders may be planning, quote, a surprise pick. Is that New Englandish? No, that's trying to sell tickets-ish.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Let me start with a Laker topic. They're obviously not in the playoffs. There's a story out. The LA Times is all over this. Now the Lakers are not going to replace Magic Johnson. Okay? But Magic will still be helping them recruit players. Okay, that's not how it works for other teams, but okay. Now it's up to Rob Pelinka. Apparently he's going to get the job. Rob Pelinka, who Arash Markazi, a columnist for the LA Times, said last week, multiple teams won't return his calls because he was an agent, he offended people, he alienated people, and a lot of people won't take his calls and pick up. Here was Arash.
There's no trust from people outside of this Jeannie Buss, Linda circle. Like, they don't think Rob knows what he's doing, and they don't trust Rob. Rob is not the guy that teams want to trade with. You got to bring in a guy that if you get that phone call and you see that caller ID, some teams aren't picking up a phone if it says Rob Pelinka. Nobody realizes how big of a problem Rob Pelinka, I think, is for this team.
Okay, so if that being, that's an LA Times columnist, reporter, feet on the ground, foot soldier, a lot of information around the organization. It feels like, to me, two things feel like they've happened with the Lakers. They've become a mom-and-pop organization in an incredibly corporate, sophisticated, analytical world in the NBA. The league is very sophisticated, and they feel mom-and-pop-ish. They do not have an elite owner, an elite analytics department. They don't have a coach. They don't have an elite roster. I do not believe they have an elite front office. I'm not taking shots. It's just, you compare them to Golden State, where do they win? Players, front office, analytics, owner, no. You can stack them up against Toronto. Where do they win? Owner, analytics, GM, players, no. Now, I think the Lakers have moved into Hail Mary category. Hail Marys are occasionally successful, so are onside kicks. I think it really comes down to this. I think the next 5 years for the Los Angeles Lakers and their franchise going forward come down to 1 week. And that's as soon as the season ends, there's a dead week, and then July 1st, it's free agents. And I think this is their Hail Mary. You trade everything to get Anthony Davis. I don't think he works necessarily that well with LeBron, but he's a hell of a player. So you trade everything to get Anthony Davis. He's represented by Clutch Sports. They'll probably help lean him into the Lakers. So you'll have LeBron and Anthony Davis. And then you cross your fingers on Jimmy Butler. If Philadelphia loses to Toronto in the next round, and it's going to be a heck of a series, I get the people who like Toronto. I like Philly, but I get the Toronto. They play real good defense. They've got tremendous chemistry. They got a little more momentum here. And then Jimmy Butler's unhappy. They decide he's a little disgruntled. Simmons doesn't like him. And they move him. Jimmy Butler loves L.A. He's made no secret of that. He likes L.A. That's your Hail Mary. Trade everything. Just give the Pelicans more than everybody else will for Anthony Davis. Just say, here's Kuzma, here's Ingram, here's Lonzo, here's just boom. And then you have LeBron, Anthony Davis, and you cross your fingers on Jimmy Butler. By the way, I don't think this is like a 10% chance or a 20% chance. I think you're in the 50% category here. I don't think this is crazy talk. I think Butler likes Los Angeles. I think his game actually works with LeBron. I think he'd stay in line with LeBron a little bit. I do. Anthony Davis isn't perfect with LeBron, but he's going to give you 24-10, 24-12. He's a good player. And he's a thoughtful player. I mean, he's a guy, doesn't need a lot of attention. You know, he didn't have a problem with LeBron getting love and Butler getting love. Anthony likes to play hoops. He likes to win games. He'll give you 23-12. I think he's a good kid. I don't think he's a great leader. I think sometimes he's a tad soft, doesn't play with injuries much, but if Kevin Durant left Golden State, and next year I said, well, is one team's got Anthony Davis, LeBron, and Jimmy Butler. That sounds like it's pretty good. That's a pretty good team. That's better than LeBron, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, and a bunch of nothing. So I kind of feel like right now if you're a Laker fan, and ownership, front office, analytics roster, they don't really stack up. But I don't think it's a crazy Hail Mary. This is a Hail Mary when you have 2 6-7 wide receivers in the end zone and they have small corners. It's not a terrible Hail Mary, and I think that's where we're at right now. Yeah, it's an Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary. Better than average. Aaron's throwing it up there. Devontae Adams is tall. Jimmy Graham's up there. Yeah, you got a shot. All right, so Odell Beckham and Dave Gettleman had a little whizzing match on over the weekend. Dave Gettleman said, "We no longer have a culture problem." Odell Beckham fired back. I think they both should have just not said much. I will say this about the New York Giants, though. Very quietly, the New York Giants have accumulated 12 draft picks. Folks, that's double the league average. They got 2 firsts, 2 fourths, 3 fifths, 2 seventh, a second, a third, and a sixth. There are certain things in certain businesses you got to get right. In the transportation business, got to be punctual. You can screw up a lot, got to be punctual. In the restaurant food industry, you got to get the service right. Just get the service right. In the hotel hospitality business, got to be clean. Nobody wants a dirty hotel. In the NFL general manager business, for God's sakes, get the quarterback right. You can whiff on the secondary. You can whiff on kickers. You can whiff on pass rushers. I mean, folks, New England gets the head coach and the quarterback right. They've whiffed on wide receivers. You can argue they're the worst drafting wide receiver team in the NFL in the last 7 years, 8 years. When I look at the New York Giants, I have two pleas. Either get Josh Rosen, just go get him. He's Garoppolo. Just go get him. Or draft Dwayne Haskins at 6. Don't overthink the route. If you don't take him at 6, he's not going to be available at 17 because Cincinnati's going to get him. Miami's going to get him. Folks, we're overthinking the room on Dwayne Haskins. He's big. He's a good kid. He's coachable. He's strong. He's accurate. I watched him play 8 games this year. Every time I watched him, he was better. He got better every week. He's 6'3.5". Now, he doesn't have great feet, but God, let's not make him into some guy on the PBA tour. He is athletic enough. And by the way, look around the league. There are a lot of guys that aren't winning. A lot of guys aren't Usain Bolt back there. I think we're overthinking the room on this thing. I mean, he's a big, tall, accurate kid. I watched him at the end of the year against Washington and Michigan. Those are the two best defenses he played. He was really good. He hits the open guys. I mean, again, I don't think he's Andrew Luck as a prospect. I don't think he's, you know, maybe maybe not Cam Newton dynamic, but aren't we going a little nuts here? I mean, Kyler Murray, I think he's a first-round prospect, and Kyler's tiny. From a conference, the Big 12, that until recently kind of gave you whiffs at quarterback. Urban Meyer talked about something that fans don't see, that one of the things about Dwayne Haskins, he's really good pre-snap at lining up the line. So that tells me the kid's alert. And this is what Urban said about him.
As great peasants to understand which way to flip the protection, and that's going to be, I think that's one of the most overlooked things for quarterbacks. What's his football IQ? Because when you see him not get hit, you say, well, the offense line is great. Wait a minute. A lot of times they're flipping protections to make sure they're picking up the pressures. And that's what, other than accuracy, that's Dwayne's strength.
Is he mature enough to be of a $5 billion franchise?
Not yet. He's close, though. He's only got 1 year under his belt, and I think the situation will be perfect. And there's a couple of them out there. He comes in, he learns for a year. At some point, he'll be the face of a franchise.
Okay. So Lance Zierlein, his dad was a coach for years. He's a Houston-based scout. I think he does a radio show. We brought him on the show before. He's a guy I like. I bring him on the show before the draft. Works for the NFL Network. Very smart guy. And, you know, I'm looking at his sheet of strengths and weaknesses, and I just love all these strengths. Groomed for this moment since he was a kid. That's almost always the story with a John Elway and Andrew Luck and Peyton Mannings. Well-schooled, understanding of how to get himself protected. Seriously, is there anything more important than that? He's a full-field reader on an NFL level. That means he's not one of these college kids that's overwhelmed. Effortless throwing motion. Ball explodes out of his hands downfield. He alters his trajectory depending on coverage and space. That was something Kaepernick always struggled with. He threw a fastball only. This kid can go slider, curve, sturdy build, shake free of pocket traffic. I love all those things. Here's the knock on him. There haven't been a lot of successful quarterbacks with so many few career starts. All right, don't love it. But he can sit a year in New York. The other thing, below average athlete. All right. Well, is Peyton Manning an Olympic sprinter? Brady? sluggish, heavy feet when he scrambles. I agree. It can't be worse than Eli. It can't be worse than Eli. All the things I see that you don't like about Dwayne are stuff you can coach up. But the things I see as strengths, if you don't do them, I mean, groomed for this moment since he was a kid. Rare passing production. Well-schooled. Knows how to get himself protected. A full field reader. Like, guys that come into this league and they don't read the full field, they really struggle early. I just think we're over. Giants, here's your moment. Either trade for Rosen or get Haskins. You're going to regret passing on this kid. I'm sorry. I'm not saying he's an A prospect. Is Matt Ryan an A prospect? He got to a Super Bowl. I didn't think Matt Ryan was an A prospect.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Three-time Pro Bowler, 8 NFL seasons, now a coach. Both he and his wife, LeVar Arrington, who I just told him, outside of a little gray in that beard, he looks like he could be drafted Thursday. He does not age. He was a dominant player at Penn State, Washington Redskins, New York Giants. How are you?
Very well.
So
how about you?
I'm great. So good. It's a great defensive line draft. Last year was all quarterback talk.
Yep.
You know, this year, Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, I like both. Haskins a little more than everybody else. Kyler scares me a little bit size, but it's a defensive line draft. You coached an Under Armour game, and you coached a kid named Ed Oliver, who we never watched play because he played at Houston. Okay. But I talked.
Right.
We didn't see him in college.
Sure.
We saw Rashawn Gary at Michigan. We saw Bosa at Ohio State.
Sure.
This kid's an interesting prospect. What do you make of him?
He's my guy in this draft. You know, I like Bosa. I mean, when you look at his lineage and those different things, I like Gary. I had those guys in Under Armour game just as much as Kyler Murray, right? But Ed Oliver, he is Aaron Donald 2.0, man. And I'll tell you, his pad level, his movement, his ability to deliver a blow, his motor, I haven't seen anything like it. Since an Aaron Donald.
Now, he got into a fight.
Or an Aaron Donald.
Yeah, he got into a fight with his coach. Is he coachable?
Disagreement.
Is he coachable?
He's coachable.
Ego?
He's a good, no. See, and that's the thing about it. You know, it's interesting. I was having a conversation about now versus when I was coming out.
Right.
If I get into a situation like Ed Oliver coming out in the draft, I am the worst thing. I'm a cancer. He's undraftable, this and that and the other. But technical, you know, advances are so great and so far ahead now. You can build your own narrative. You can endear yourself to your consumer and to the fan base. Ed Oliver, if he was really the guy that maybe some tried to portray him as coming out of that situation with his coach at Houston, I think there would have been more conversations about it. I think there would have been a lot of narratives that would go along with what took place at that moment in time. To be honest with you, I think the culpability there lied on the leadership versus the young man that was playing. So, and if that's the only question I had on him at that moment in time, I don't think that that's a large enough question to not be high on that.
Yeah, he had an incident. It doesn't define him.
Correct.
I have no problem with guys having incidents.
I mean, we could have an incident right now, right here,
yeah,
and hug it out and be okay tomorrow. They might be okay. They might be best of friends. Like, I'm sorry, Ed. Like, I'm sorry too, coach. Like, we had a moment. It was caught on camera. Boom, boom, boom. Move on. Right.
By the way, half the NFL is undrafted. Many of the great players, your TOs, did not play at massive schools. I always love these guys that play.
Love where you're going.
Don't get caught up in guys play. If you go look at quarterbacks in this league, Miami of Ohio, NC State, Boston College, how many Alabama guys start? How many USC guys start? Not many. So I like guys who get overlooked at the college level, end up at a Houston, and are ticked off for 3 years. I think it's a huge advantage to Ed Oliver and players like that.
That point that you make is so tremendous. I'm from Pittsburgh, all right? Now, I'm going to go to a different era, and things have changed very dramatically since being in Pittsburgh in this draft I'm telling you about. But you were here. I was not here. A guy by the name of Mean Joe Green gets drafted to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
The entire foundation and identity was built on this man's his ability to do what he did on the field, right?
Right.
Could you tell me what college he went to?
I can't.
A college by the name of Northern Texas. All right. And I think they were called the Green Mean Machine or something to that effect.
I think you're right? Yeah.
He goes number four in that draft. All right. 1969, he goes in that draft and totally changed the entire trajectory of Chuck Knoll's Pittsburgh Steelers.
By the way, Terry Bradshaw did not go to LSU.
Where did he go?
Like Louisiana Tech.
Something like that,
right?
So you cannot, when you look at the draft, the most interesting aspect of the draft is the big names and the big schools, it's just all about the consumer and what they want to see. You know, you think about the Haskins, you think about the Bosas, you think about the Garys. I named all Big Ten players there, right? I'm partial. But if you think about these big schools where these guys come from and you get the linemen from LSU and from Alabama and the SEC, and it really is consumer-driven. And I take a step back. As a high school coach, I look at how many players get the hype machine behind them and get these tremendously large scholarship offers, and this school and that school, and they have like upwards of 20 scholarship offers. And then there's a guy over here that has none, that's probably twice the player that this kid that has all of these scholarship offers.
Because he didn't go to a powerhouse high school football program.
It's a possibility.
So let's go back to when you were in this league. Now, you were a dominant player. You were a dominant player at Penn State. But you end up going to the Redskins. Do you remember your first couple years? A draft pick, a young guy on the team that came from nowhere, and you were like, oh, he would have been great at Penn State. Did you ever play with one of those guys?
A whole bunch. I mean, the homes, couches are littered. There's probably a ton of guys helping you with your wood at Home Depot or scanning you out somewhere at Wegmans, right?
Right.
That was probably a better player than LeVar Arrington. Truth. True story. Yeah. But the reality of it is for someone like me, I had the opportunity to grow up with Dwight White as a mentor. I had Jerome Bettis. We had the same barber. Shouts out to Dave on Northside. I had the opportunity to learn that it's more about branding yourself and understanding how to define your identity as a person versus even being that player that people want you to be on the football field.
Just think about this. Think about this is why I love the draft. If I said to you 10 best players in the NFL over the last 10 years, Gronk went to a basketball school.
Yep.
Literally basketball school. Tom Brady, sixth round, struggled to start at Michigan.
I remember Tom Brady.
He was in your draft.
He was in my – listen to what you just said. He was in my draft.
You got picked eighth.
That was the last my thing as it applies to my versus Tom Brady.
Do you know how many – you remember all the quarterbacks that got picked ahead of him?
Yes,
One of them's now a goat farmer in Napa Valley, I swear to God. There's six of them, and a lot of them, by the way, big arm guys, big strong guys, and here came – you didn't even see Tom play in college in the Big Ten, did you?
Well, actually, he beat us a few times.
Really?
But I wore him out in college. You know, Tom Brady was not ready for LeVar Arrington in college.
Right.
But that just tells you, and that goes to show you, even though I got the best of him head-to-head, they won the game. But statistically speaking, I did very well against Michigan. Very well. But that sometimes doesn't translate to what you're going to be once you go to the next level.
Do you go back to your career with Washington? When you were with Washington, they were very, very well run. And then you went to the Giants. Who was the coach there?
Tom Coughlin.
Okay, well.
If you want to know what the Redskins, I mean, do we have enough time in this segment
for
me to name all of the coaches I had?
So
you know,
Washington
I had
was
more head coaches at one point than I did years in the league.
So Joe Gibbs was gone?
I had Joe. Well, I'm not that old. I had the second Joe Gibbs.
Okay.
So Joe was kind of like a reason why I left Washington. It just got to the point of where it just wasn't going to work in Washington.
Yeah.
But that was his second. That was his second go around. So when I was at the end and I went and left and went to the New York Giants. So I had coming in. I had North Turner. Then there was Terry Rubisky before the season was over in a room.
Oh, you went those right? Redskin years.
Then I had Coach Spurrier.
Oh, Lord.
Then I had Coach Schottenheimer. Wait, Coach Schottenheimer, then Coach Spurrier. Coach Schottenheimer, then Coach Spurrier.
So you're a great example of this. And Joy and I have talked about this in our careers. I always tell people, there's a sea of money. Chase good management.
Mm.
Okay, there's not a ton of great managers in my career. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of money out there and a lot of networks. You're a great example of Washington. Your experience was they couldn't get the management right.
Well, it's culture, Colin, and I think that you stated very, very well. If you cannot bring in people who can identify people who build positive and winning culture, you're destined to fail. And it doesn't matter how much talent you bring in. It doesn't matter how much money you pay people. You're going to come up short. And that was 100% why I brought up Joe Green. You know, you think about building something, Chuck Knoll and the Rooney family. You know, one of the stories that always sticks out to me is I heard a story about one of the Rooneys. Rooney gets there, he pulls up. One of the employees, he pulls up. They get out of the car. They're walking. They're talking to the building. Walking to the building while they're talking to one another. Well, the story goes, wait, I'm talking to you. We're walking from the same place, which is the back of the parking lot. Why aren't you parked up front? And Art Rooney responds to the young man and says, because we're all here to win together as a team. So if I get here early enough to get one of the closer parking spaces, that's where I'll park. If I get here at the time that we just got here at and everybody's already here working, I'll park where an open spot is. And apparently, we both have the same spots at the back of the parking lot. To me, that's building culture. You're building winning culture. You're no better than me. I'm no better than you. If I wash the clothing that comes off of the field when they practice, if I mow the lawn, if I'm cleaning the commodes, whatever it may be, you should never be so big that you remove yourself from the people that help you to win. And I think that that's why people come up short, especially in pro sports.
Let's talk about Cleveland and the Raiders. There are more free agent signings now than there were 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland went and spent big money on some guys. The Raiders have spent a ton for a left tackle who I think is good, not great, and a wide receiver who's talented but comes with a little baggage, Antonio Brown. When you're in a locker room, and I've always wondered about this, and a team goes out and spends money and they bring in somebody, and you put 3 years in with a team and you busted your butt, and then they go and say, we're going to pay this guy. He's going to
more than you.
See, I really,
that part of it shouldn't matter. Right. You worry about what's going into your bank account, worry about what your performance is, and worry about how you can contribute to the team. But that's culturally speaking, right? If you go to a organization where it is okay for you to feel that way about somebody coming in and making that type of dollar and you've been there, or you're in an organization where, you know, the money is what drives the hierarchy at those places, you're destined to fail. So the reality of it is that you could go to a place like New England, make more money than the guy that's been there. But I'm certain of this, even though I don't know the New England locker room very well at all at this point. But I'm certain those guys are welcoming that guy with open arms and saying, let's go get another Super Bowl. Not, can I get a meal tonight? Can you take me to this five-star restaurant over here?
They've created the culture where they trust Bill.
And it's a trust environment. So even if it stems beyond the trust of just the coach, there is a collective culture that says this is what we want to achieve. This is the standard. And once you've established that, once that comes from on high to down low, then that becomes gospel. And once you've established that, you see why is Tom Brady still able to have success in a young man's game? Why are they seem to be written off every single year but are always competing or winning a Super Bowl? It is because of their way of approaching their business, the organization of it. I think John Gruden is trying to figure that out. I know Mayock, he's a fine man. I think they're trying to figure it out, but culture doesn't happen overnight.
No, it does not.
And I'll be honest with you, and until you are able to establish what that is, they're in a danger zone. McKenzie was a fine GM.
See, I never had a problem with him.
Very fine GM. But something was not correct. Something was turbulent about that organization and still may be to this day. Now, we'll find out. The beauty about this game is you get to see it play out. So we're going to find out. If I'm a betting man, if I were a betting man, which I'm not, but if I were, those two organizations that you just mentioned,
Cleveland and Oakland,
they're not going to win. They're not going to win. Odell, he's Odell. You're going to win with selling Odell jerseys. You're going to win with selling juice jerseys. Like, oh, they're back together. The LSU click. Great. They're not going to win. Sorry. You got a Heisman Trophy winner throwing the football. They're not going to win.
Well, I picked Pittsburgh to win the division because of the Rooneys, Tomlin, Ben, their O-line. And people said, you're crazy. And I'm like, what am I going to bet on? 30 years of excellence or a red-hot team that brought in Odell? It's nothing against Cleveland. I tend to bet cultures over rosters. That's what I do in the NFL.
That's a safe decision.
I'm going to bet I like the Rams next year. I like the Eagles. I like the Chiefs. I like the Colts. I like the Patriots. I like the Steelers. I'm taking cultures more than I am rosters.
I think those are good picks.
Yeah,
I'm sitting here running them through my head right now, which you just shot off at me, and I think those are pretty good.
LeVar Arrington, don't be afraid to drop by the show if you want to promote something for your high school. Good dude. Good seeing you again.
Hey, Maranatha High School in Pasadena. Come check us out Friday night.
You look fantastic.
I'm going to look for you to come see me on a Friday.
Pasadena's great.
It's good.
Pasadena, it gets a little warm out there.
It does.
Good restaurants, though.
Very nice.
Good high school football.
Super good now.
LeVar, good seeing you.